the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Now, speaking of respect, we'll never get tired of this.
Just hold your nerve. She's holding her nerve. This is wonderful from Charlie Mosley. She is such a proficient relay runner. Proven it with a gold medal for Ireland. Yes. And a huge national record, obliterating the previous record. It's not just a gold medal for Ireland. It's a glittering, glittering gold medal. Because all...
Well, we've all been dazzled by them over the course of the European Championships, but how can we all channel the mindsets of these athletes, the sheer concentration, the composure and the confidence? We're joined by Trinity's Professor Ian Robertson, who's also author of How Confidence Works. It's interesting, Ian, in that little clip there that Greg Allen was talking about, hold your nerve rather than keep running. It was psychological, wasn't it?
You're absolutely right, Richard. I mean, all elite athletes are master practitioners of both psychology and brain science. They couldn't perform at the level they do unless they really knew how to take control of their own minds and indeed of their own brains. And holding your nerve, using your nerves, controlling your attention, controlling your motivation, all of these things are absolutely crucial, and no elite athlete could perform without being really, really skilled at all of these.
I think people who we might all sort of envy when it comes to athletics, the bodies of the athletes, but in a way we should be trying to emulate the mind rather than working too hard on the other direction. But as an individual sport, Ian, is the psychology of individual sport very different to team sports? In a way, a lot rests and falls with the individual's performance. It can lead to more pressure, but equally, team sports, being part of a team, can drive people on.
Yeah, you're right. They are. It's probably a slightly overlapping but different set of skills you need for a team, because if you're an individual golfer or an individual athlete, it's all down to you. Whereas if you're in a team, you can be carried along by collective confidence in a team, by the morale and motivation that's kind of contagious in teams. And what's the critical mental skills in teams are to do, a lot of it's to do with emotional intelligence and social intelligence, and not having your ego spoil the dynamics of a team, for example. So yes, you're right. They're probably different sets of skills, but there are, all elite team players also need this capacity to harvest and to look after and to use their own mental and brain capacities.
I mean, another great example of very much an individual sport where a lot is going on in the mind, and it refers to confidence and it refers to concentration, is golf. Padraig Harrington, there's a very interesting story about what happened to him in 2006.
Yes, he was leading in the British Open against Sergio Garcia. He was totally in the zone. He was teeing off at the second last hole, images of winning the claret jug filling his mind. He was delighted. He was playing beautifully. And he hit the ball not once, but twice into the Ballyburn, into the river. And when he did the second shot, he just felt humiliated, embarrassed, disappointed. I mean, just as he walked up the fairway to take the second penalty shot, his caddy, Ronan Flood, kept saying to him over and over again, just one thing. He said, "You are the best chipper and putter in the world. You are the best chipper and putter in the world." And so on, until Harrington said afterwards, if he'd been holding his club, he would have hit him with it. But he chipped beautifully, putted beautifully, squared the Open, in spite of meeting Garcia, who gave him a big grin thinking he'd won. And then in the playoff, he won the Open. Huge celebrations. But that's not the end of the story. End of the evening, the two lads hadn't seen each other. They got into the limo to go back to the hotel, and Harrington turned to Flood and said, "Oh, Ronan, you saved my bacon out there. After I hit that second shot into the river, I didn't think I had a chance." And he saw that Flood was laughing. He said, "Why are you laughing?" And Flood said, "I didn't think you had a chance either." So in other words, Flood was just saying the words. in order to hack into Harrington's brain and take control of his attention. If you can control your attention, you can control your emotions, and therefore you can control your performance. So what he did was he tuned Harrington's attention system so all he was thinking about was not the big prize, all he was thinking about was the next chip.
The power and of positive memory, talking, Ian.
Yeah, controlling his attention, and his memory systems were just throwing up past examples of things he was really good at. So that meant his anxiety levels went down, and he was back into the elite zone of performance, and he won the thing.
So when when you apply that, you know, approach outside of sport and into the world of work, is it about going into a difficult meeting? And if you don't have somebody there to say you're the greatest, you're going to have to say it to yourself.
Yeah, you're going into a meeting maybe with either with something reporting to you or with a boss or with a colleague, and your stomach's a bit anxious because you're not sure of what the outcome of that meeting is going to be. And that can lead to this, what happened to Harrington. You get too much of a chemical messenger called noradrenaline in your brain, which disrupts your brain performance, makes you think of downsides rather than upsides, and you don't perform well. You maybe mush your words or you get upset. So one solution to that is all about the goals you set for yourself. So if you've got that meeting that's making you feel really anxious, what you do is you can set an internal goal for yourself. You forget about the outcome of the meeting and you just say, my goal for this meeting is I'm going to perform well and with composure in spite of the anxiety I feel. And that little mental shift changes you from a threat mindset into a challenge mindset. That actually changes the brain chemistry and makes it more likely that you will do it, and you will then get a little success experience, even though the outcome of the meeting may not be what you wanted, but you set yourself a goal of behaving with composure against, say, provocation or difficulty, and you will get a little mini antidepressant and anxiety-reducing surge of success to that in the brain.
What happens, and it happens in sport, in some sports, where you actually get the opposite. You don't get a person telling you, you're the greatest, you can do this. You'll see it if you stand at the sideline of football matches, often with young kids playing, and either the coach or one of the team, kid makes a mistake, is saying, that was rubbish, what are you at? You messed up. And they're shouting that from the sideline as it's happening. Interestingly, in the culture of athletics, which I would be very familiar with, people will often shout on encouragement to kids. You never hear someone criticizing somebody mid-race. So it's an important kind of distinction, and it is the opposite to what you're saying about that encouragement line.
Yes, exactly. And we all need, in the absence of other people encouraging us, we have to shape our rewards ourselves. We have to create mini goals for ourselves, even in the drab everyday of life with things that are not inherently rewarding or maybe boring. We can set ourselves the task. I'm going to do 30 minutes of that horrible task, and I'm going to reward myself having managed 30 minutes of writing that ghastly report I've been putting off for weeks, for example. And yes, you do get, you in life, we get saboteurs all the time, sabotaging our confidence by criticizing us. And the thing about making mistakes or screwing up is failure is a much better teacher than success. And if you can, rather than shouting at someone or criticizing for making a mistake, if you can change the mindset to, how did that happen? Let's discuss how we can make that, you know, less likely to happen in the future. That completely changes the mindset, and you can learn a huge amount by embracing failure, even though it's not very comfortable.
So that's a conversation for afterwards, rather than in the middle of it and in a semi-public forum.
Exactly. Criticizing someone mid-tight is just useless, you know, because the anxiety that causes will make them much more, even more likely to do what Harrington did, was to make the same mistake or a worse one again.
And turn around. Ian Robertson, Trinity professor and author of How Confidence Works. Thank you very much for joining us on the program.